I guess where I'd like to start is just a little bit of a structure for for us to get started. It would be more two or three things that you have learned, 3 points that you have learned as a business owner, things that you feel have made you successful either currently or in the past, and things that can help our viewers and our audience to learn from each other, and also any kind of struggles or challenges that you've had, difficulties that you've had. So if you've had some sort of a big struggle, or whether it's mental, emotional, financial, spiritual, something that was so challenging that maybe you thought you couldn't get through it, and then you were able to successfully overcome those challenges, and how we can learn from your story and your experience so that maybe we wouldn't kind of make some of the same some of the same mistakes in our businesses and in our life, and in that sense we can learn from you.
Okay. Well, the first thing you said was I would share three things that I learned from being in business. And I assume that you're remembering that I talked a little bit about the previous business that I had that actually was a cause of some of the problems that I had. But for a while, for 7 years, it was a very good business. And one of the things that I learned was how important marketing is. And getting out there to connect with people that might have an interest in what my business provided. Now, when I was in business before, it was really before the advent of the internet. So the ways of connecting with prospects is different now, but the importance of connecting with those prospects and finding them is, I think it's always important for a business. So I realized how important marketing was, and the biggest part of my budget was always advertising and marketing. So that was one of the key things that I learned. You just have to constantly go out and try to find people that are interested in what it was that you offer, what the business offered. The second thing that I learned was so important to the success that I enjoyed for a number of years was systematizing all the different processes in my business. For a long time, my business was just initially it was me and a secretary, then it was me and a secretary and 2 employees, and then 6 employees. But when it really grew, and ultimately I had 48 employees, it would have been impossible to run it and maintain it for the number of years that we did without making specific systems for each different department or each different part that was necessary for the business to prosper. From advertising, I had a system of analyzing and writing and implementing my advertising and marketing campaign. I had a system for hiring people and the interview process and then training them. So everything from the same type of thing as we would try to acquire prospects and turn them into clients, we would also do a similar type pattern for acquiring employees. So we would have to go, and it was a time when everybody wasn't looking for a job. It was like they were choosing which job was best for them. So we had to go out and advertise for employees and then do the interview process. And then because there was a licensing requirement, we had to train them and teach them to be able to get licensed. And then once they got licensed, we had to have a system for teaching them to be productive in the actual job. So, and then there was accounting systems and all kinds of different systems. But everything that we did, we made a system. And it didn't happen overnight, but over time, we made it so it was replicable. So if we knew we had to hire new employees, we would just go to the system and initiate the process. The process of getting new customers, that was ongoing all the time. So we constantly just, every month we were repeating that system for that.
Wow, that's
So,
pretty impressive there, because a lot of businesses that I have seen You know, they don't have systems, or, you know, they don't have, how do I say, they don't have people or the processes in place so that people are always kind of spinning their wheels or trying to figure things out. So that's really amazing. So do you remember those systems, and do you remember, you know, how to put some of those systems together?
Well, I think once you do it, and because I did it in all the different areas that my business needed, and I always looked at it as the owner of the business, I was always seeing what was limiting me. So there was always one thing that, you know, either I needed more leads, or I needed better skills for my salespeople to close deals, or, you know, there was always something. So I would focus on that thing that was limiting me and try to strengthen that. And then when I did strengthen, then something else became a system or got my focus. But your question was, do I remember them? Actually, no, because it's been over 15 years since I closed the business. But what I do remember is how I did it. So once you establish a system for whatever, then it becomes easier the next time. So really it was just making notes of what I needed to do and putting a timeline, not specific on a calendar, but first I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this. And it also had like some branches on it where, you know, this was one possible response, and this was another possible response. If this happened, then I would do this, and if this happened, then I would do that. And because I did it in all the different areas of my business, it wouldn't be hard for me to do that again because I did it, you know, numerous times. And then you constantly analyze and see if it's as good as it possibly can, and you're always trying to make it a little bit better. Not reinvent the wheel, but if you can do one thing that made your advertising a little bit better, or one thing to help you hire better employees, or one thing to help you manage your finances a little bit better, or whatever, you're always open to that.
And you were able to grow a very successful business up to, you know, was it actual revenues of $10 million annually, or was it gross of $10 million? I just wanted to understand a little bit about that.
No, that was the cumulative amount. What it averaged was about $1.5 million a year in revenues, but that was over a seven-year period. So the total revenues over 7 years was about $10 million.
And how, you know, what line of business or work were you in, and were you, was it something that you were passionate about, that you loved to do? Like, how did you get into that business, and, you know, where are you today in terms of what you'd like to do or what you're currently doing? Does it relate to, you know, something you really wanted to accomplish and wanted to do, and you feel like you're done with and you're ready to move on to a new area? I'm just trying to, you know, see if we can bring out some of your talents and some of your core values and core strengths to see, you know, what level of, not just expertise, but skills and talents that you have that you might be able to bring to the table, you know?
Well, the first part of your question is the reason I got into the business, it was a financial services business that focused on the commodities market. And if you know commodities, all different kind of things, but because my background was agriculture, we could focus on trading things like corn and soybeans or soybean oil or coffee or feeder cattle. But we also traded other things like gold and silver, and, oil and natural gas and things like that. It wasn't that that was my passion. What I really wanted to do, Indira, was when I was younger, I was a working cowboy on ranches as a cowboy, part of a cow club. And I had the ambition and the dream of owning my own ranch. So what I did was I did research, and at that time it was, you know, different ways of doing research than it is now. There was no Google. But I did research to try to find out what was the way of making the most money. And the three careers that made the most money was a doctor, a medical doctor, or a lawyer, which is, easy to understand. Or at that time, it was a broker, where you could be a stock broker or a financial broker. And the other two would take so much time that I couldn't do that, obviously, and didn't have a desire to become a doctor or a lawyer. So I became a broker. Then I started researching how I could become a broker. And I researched how I could be different brokers successful. And I went to work, you know, I got hired and went to work for a firm, and then learned what they did, and then I analyzed what they did that was good and what I thought could be was that could be better. And I always had this entrepreneurial spirit, so I started my own firm, and that's where I made enough money to invest in cattle and buy a ranch and start leasing land and putting cows and, you know, cows on it. So, but my desire was the ranch. The financial services firm was just a means to get the ranch, because in order to do that, I needed finances and I didn't have any money. And so making money was important to me at that time. Now it's not as important. I'm at a different part of my life. The money is not as important. I look for other less materialistic things. But I understand the importance of money. It's just not the primary objective for me anymore.
I gotcha. So a couple of things that I heard in there is, one, you're definitely an entrepreneur. Number two, that you were more motivated by the desire to have, you know, the ranch and the cattle and have that experience, which was important to you. And so you were motivated to find the vehicle and the means to go ahead and, you know, financially pay for and support that lifestyle. But maybe now that you've had the ranch and you've had that life, you know, it's not something that you are wanting to have in that sense. Is that correct, what I'm hearing?
Well, it's not that I don't want the ranch anymore. The lifestyle of being out in the country and with animals around me, that's an important part of what brings me peace and contentment. So, but I do live on a horse farm now. So instead of owning the cows and paying a lease on the property, I just live where I work, and I work taking care of horses. And so I get that now. I mean, I get that contentment and the peace and serenity of where I live. So I don't have a desire to build a big ranch again or to buy, you know, X number of cows. But I do feel like I do have something that I want to do, because I've identified what I believe is my purpose in life and the thing that I'm here to do, and the thing that, even though I was a cowboy earlier and then a business owner, and then I was in financial services, and I might have spent time in Chicago and New York, and I was doing these different things, all during this time, there was always something underlying it that was a passion of mine. And I realized what that was, and now I want to use that, what I've been passionate about over the past 30 years, and share what I've learned with the world. So that's where I am now.
So I guess maybe I should rephrase that. So instead of saying that you don't want the ranch, you don't want to have ownership and the overhead of maintaining the ranch, but you want to have the lifestyle still.
Yeah, that's accurate. And I do, in a way. It's just, I mean, I have cows on one side of me and horses on the other side of me, and I do little things every day dealing with the livestock. But I don't know how to really answer that. I don't have to own it. I just still enjoy it. It does bring peace into my life.
I got you. So if you had a choice to just have the experience, and you know, I was listening to one of my other coaches and another teacher that teaches wealth out there, and he was saying that, you know, when the downturn came, he lost over $700,000, and you know, he's a millionaire, and he teaches wealth strategies. And he decided to just rent. You know, he's not, he hasn't purchased his home or anything like that. He's just renting a home, and he's getting the benefits of a nice house, but he's not, how do I say it? He's not having the overhead and all the repairs and maintenance and all the other costs associated with it, you know?
I'm in the same place. I don't have to own. I like to enjoy an experience, but I don't have to own. When I was younger, I thought I had to own it. Now, I don't have to anymore. I'm just in the same place as the other gentleman that you described.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And now going back to the in-between, I tend to pick on the words in-between that I hear. It seems as you have a passion for sharing you have a passion for wanting to share now, or to educate people, or to inspire, or to teach. Is that what I'm hearing?
Without a doubt. You asked me to do an exercise when we spoke last week before this call, and I did do that.
Remind me of the exercise, because the thing is, some of us, I might remember some of it, you might remember it, but certainly our audience may not, you know?
Yeah, you asked me to go and, like, to take some time to just get really quiet and still and to relax and to allow myself to get some insight as to who I thought I was and what I thought my purpose was and what my vision was for the future, what my image was of myself. And I did that. I've done that many times in the past. Meditation is a big part of my life. So it wasn't difficult, and it just reinforced what I believe, you know, who I am and what my strengths are and what my value can be to others and what I can share. So I did do that.
So I remember. So it was kind of, you know, in Cosmic Accounting, and if I haven't had a chance to send you the ebook, I'd be happy to do that. And also, you know, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. It's called Cosmic Accounting, and it's just by me, Indira, and it's called 9 Keys for a Life in Balance. And what I had found was, after I'd gone through some great financial successes, I had some pretty grave financial losses. My losses were probably about 5 years of debt and just making wrong decision after wrong decision after wrong decision. Sometimes, you know, when we start a business, in my case, I didn't know too much, you know, about 7, 8, 9 years ago. And so we put a lot of capital in, a lot of money, and we lose a lot of things. And from that place, what I learned was, and how I came to develop this Mind Power for Success program, is that if we don't go in there and fix the blueprint and the things that allow us to make those decisions in the first place, what happens is eventually we'll make a decision or two that won't be in alignment with our vision, our mission, our purpose, and then we tend to lose a lot, whether it's money or some people, they have relationship losses or, you know, friendship losses or business partnership losses. They lose in one way or another. So stepping back and really going into a meditative state, and that's kind of the first key, is getting into our mind and having access to that higher intelligence that we normally block out and circumvent because of the busyness in life. When we operate from that higher intelligence, it allows us to have access to the other 90%, or actually start to access 100% of our talents and capabilities as human beings. And in that sense, it links us to our mind power. So it's really amazing. So I'd love for you to share more about that purpose and how and what in terms of, like, what is it that you're yearning to share? And then I'll give you a chance to go ahead and, you know, bless us with that so that you can start expressing yourself and sharing that knowledge with us.
Well, I've, you know, there were two parts in what you asked me to do. One is a personal, like, view, like an external view. Like, to me, I saw it as stepping outside of myself and viewing myself objectively to see what my strengths were. And even when I built the business, when I went from, you know, just me and one employee to the growth that we had, and even going back to support what I talked about making systems, one of the strengths that I know that I have is I like to research and to learn. I just love being a student, and if something has my interest, I can put a lot of energy into learning the different parts of it, even the nuances and everything. So I like to understand things, and I think that a strength is understanding. And then after that understanding comes, one thing that I was able to do in business was to take what I learned and to simplify it.